Blog Talk Radio.
What is up? Hello and welcome to the first ever and possibly the last ever Hold the Cage pilot MMA podcast episode. Pretty sure we'll be switching that to Holding the Cage, which is more grammatically correct. If you're looking for the Biss and Evan Geekcast podcast, we'll be back Wednesday night. So this is a new thing we're trying out. Tonight, I am Justin Bissonnette from the Geekcast. But tonight, I'm joined by Paul Stein, and we'll be talking some MMA. What's up, Paul?
Pretty good. How's it going, man?
Pretty good, man. So just to give people a little bit of background, MMA's this crazy creature with a lot of different styles mixed together. I'm coming at this kind of an old-school boxing fan and a high school wrestler. And that kind of formed some of my opinions on it. So what drew you into MMA?
So I actually find the grappling sense of MMA more fascinating. We both were high school wrestlers. I continue to follow all kinds of grappling sports. I love jiu-jitsu, watching jiu-jitsu competitions, judo, stuff like that. So that's, boxing was never really something I followed with too much interest. So it's the grappling facet of MMA that really interests me.
So we'll get to the big thing right out of the gate. The biggest fight in MMA right now is it was Aldo versus McGregor, but we know Aldo has medically backed out. I'm just going to say backed out.
He was not did a little cleared bit of by research. Medical officials.
He was not cleared by his doctor. The UFC doctor is actually the only doctor to clear him. However, both of his doctors did not clear him, so he chose to not take the fight. And I think that I could go on here and be the McGregor shill that I am and really attack that, but it is kind of weird that the biggest fight of UFC's career, their doctor was like, oh no, he's fine. Second opinion said not so much. So
can you really blame them?
Well,
I mean, look at this has been the most hyped fight I can ever remember. 6 months almost of hype leading into this fight. You know how much money they've paid through advertising just to get this, like the word out about this fight? I wouldn't be surprised that the doctors were trying to push it through when it shouldn't have been.
Well, it's the first time I've ever remembered like an international press tour for a fight.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. There's been some big fights like Tito and Ken and those type of things, like going way back. But, you know, like, there's been some big fights in the UFC, but you've never seen something like that international press tour that they did. Like, this, they had a lot hanging on this. So, long story short, we're two Mendez and McGregor. And to me, nothing changes because, I mean, point blank, I'm a McGregor fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see McGregor. And, you know, a big thing people have doubted is he's never faced a top five contender. And now he's getting a chance to do that. So I'm still equally excited to see Mendez McGregor as I was Aldo McGregor, honestly.
And honestly, I think this is actually a worse matchup for McGregor. I mean, not taking anything away from Jose Aldo, but striker versus striker, I think McGregor, for as pompous as he is, I'll give him credit, he is an excellent striker. He's now facing the best grappling wrestler in the division. So I think this is actually a worse matchup than the initial one was.
See, I'm going to, as the McGregor apologist here, I'll play devil's advocate a little bit, but I actually firmly believe this. Mendez had trouble with Aldo, who was a striker. You know,
mm-hmm.
He never beat Aldo, and I mean, look at McGregor, man. You have to give him credit. when's the last time a striker has come on the scene and then just taken it by storm like McGregor has it? You'd have to look at, you know, you'd be looking almost at Machida, you know?
Machida, Anderson Silva, I mean, but those are, you know, top of the top. And McGregor is, I think he will be there eventually. I just don't know if he's at that level yet.
Yeah. So, and I would present, I think I sent you the most grappling heavy Cage Warriors fight he had, which, let's face it, the guy he fought was a guy who was a top level grappler for Cage Warriors, which is at most a second tier promotion, probably a third.
Yeah.
All right. But there were some glimpses of some takedown defense in that, and that was a good 3 years ago.
Yeah. And it's a good point. I mean, I'm looking at their stats now. Neither McGregor or Mendes has been taken down in the ring.
Yeah.
They both have excellent takedown defense. The only thing that's going in Mendes' favor is he's much better at the takedown. McGregor has been taken down, but he hasn't had anyone with Mendes' wrestling capabilities trying to take him down before. So it'll actually be really interesting. I'm very excited to see how he competes with a grappler of that level, if he can actually hold his own.
And I mean, I'm excited because I mean, if he stands up to this task and he can dispose of Mendes, it just makes the Aldo fight that much more exciting. You know, it's one more question answered, and then we get Aldo and McGregor, hopefully not in Brazil, but, you know.
If Aldo has his way, we'll be in Brazil.
You know, but, you know, it just makes that fight that much better. If Mendes wins, I don't want to see Mendes win for two reasons. Number one, the best chance for Mendes to win is to take down McGregor and lay on him like a wet blanket, which
would
not be a very entertaining fight, you know. And hey, I think McGregor guessed 4 minutes, 4 minute knockout. I think Mendes will take McGregor down in the first round. I think McGregor will get a knockout in the second round. That's my my prediction.
So you think I'll take him around to find his range and kind of shut down Mendes's grappling?
And I think Mendes will surprise him because, like you said, he hasn't been in there with a grappler the level of Mendes, and there probably isn't another one in the division. You know, maybe Frankie Edgar. Maybe.
But, I mean, Mendes, you're talking about a number two or a runner-up NCAA champion, All-American wrestler. I mean, dude's got credentials when it comes to wrestling. No one else in the division has that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, he's got a striking game, too. It's not just all the grappling. I think he's best served to take McGregor down and just lay and pray. But, I mean, this is a guy that has knockouts and TKOs under his belt, too.
He does. But I think he'll be foolish if he tries to stand toe-to-toe with McGregor.
Yeah,
I think
McGregor's
from what we've seen, Buckley. Go ahead.
Yeah, McGregor's got kind of that it's almost like a sneaky offense with the jab. That just kind of, one sneaks through, and then a second one sneaks through, and then a third one sneaks through. So I agree with you there.
Well, he's very unorthodox in his striking. Actually, I saw an interview a couple days ago where he says when he's on Conan O'Brien, where he says he studies animal movements and tries to emulate that in his fighting style. But it actually makes sense. I mean, it may be just a kind of like a hype thing he's saying, but he actually is very unorthodox and very smooth in his movements when he's striking in the cage. So,
yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing is hard to defend against.
And, I mean, he's not Sonnet, you know, he's not, I mean, he is in a way, he is hyping up the fight. He is saying stuff to draw people in and to get them to buy pay-per-views. But he's also a student of the game to a level that I don't think a lot of other quote-unquote talkers have been, you know?
No, I'll agree with you. I'll give him that one. He is a true martial artist. I mean, he does respect martial arts, and he's very skilled. But he just needs to shut the hell up every now and then. That's my only question.
No, I think he needs to keep on talking, man. It's good. It's good for MMA. It's good in general. It's good fun, man.
Yeah.
So
we'll,
me and you will be sitting there going toe to toe while this one's going on. I'll be hoping for a knockout. You'll be hoping for some takedowns. I'm still super pumped about this fight. Like, obviously, a lot of people wanted to see him in Aldo fight. For me, it's all about seeing McGregor fight, whoever it's going to be, and just to hear what the hell he has to say afterwards. You know, hopefully he has the opportunity to open up his mouth again. So
even if he does lose, I'm sure his mouth will still be open.
So at some point, he's going to talk, no matter what. So the other, like, arguably what could be the main event, you know, and what maybe if you're a purist should be the main event, honestly, Robbie Lawler and Rory McDonald. So this is the America versus Canada portion of the card, even though an American took Aldo's spot. any thoughts on this fight? It's almost been overshadowed by the McGregor show.
It has, just because of the hype machine. This truly is kind of a old school versus new school fight. I mean, you have the old school striker Robbie Lawler, who, I mean, honestly, who had been out of the game for a while, but had an amazing comeback and, you know, lost to Hendricks initially, then came back and fought Hendricks and beat him, and now is a champion. Versus this young fighter who's just, you know, been doing incredible lately. So it'll be interesting. I still have to give it up for my boy Robbie Lawler, though. I want him to see him get some more wins under his belt before he retires.
Yeah. I'm going to pull for McDonald in this one, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been sold on it. I've bought into the hype. He's lost to Lawler before.
Yes.
You know, and he's lost to Condit. Those are his two losses. But it was a split, you know. It was a three-round split. And he's been on a tear, man.
And split decisions, I mean, it could go either way. You're leaving it in the hands of judges, so it could have went either way in that fight. But, yeah, it's a very close fight. And Robbie Lawler has been getting – McDonald's has been getting better, so it could be completely different this time.
Yeah, and it'll be a five-round fight, which I think will be the difference. And I mean, this is weird to say. We got to get you caught up on the new tough. I don't trust America Top Team to perform in two big time fights in a row. So but man, if we were both caught up on that, the last episode we could talk about that fight for the whole 30 minutes. But but, man, also, looking at this card, outside of those two fights, there's not a whole lot else on this card, man. It's kind of a...
else do you need besides those two fights?
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. But they've kind of snuck some fighters in here on the pay-per-view that are coming off of bad losses. Like we talked about, Brad Pickett is on the show. The last time anyone saw him, it was us watching him get beat in Austin. You know? Brandon Thatch is on the show. He just got beat by Benson Henderson, who short notice came up, you know, up to 170. So hopefully there's some fantastic finishes in some of these fights. In a fight that's particularly, I want to see like a double knockout. Brown versus Tim Means. I care less about either of these guys, man. It's very top heavy, I guess, is the nice way to put it.
But still, I mean, even with those fights where you're not really expecting much, still great fights can happen. Hopefully these turn into some great fights and it'll be just a good night all around come this Saturday.
So I mean, and we kind of discovered this before the show. I've been kind of referring from the McGregor fight, next 7 days, there's a ton of cards. If you go the 10-day period, I think there's, if you start the Friday before the McGregor fight or the Thursday before, there's upwards of 8 fights that are broadcast either on TV or on the Fight Pass from major promotions. So I've kind of called that International Fight Week, even though it really is only the stuff leading into the McGregor pay-per-view and the Ultimate Fighter finale after. But out of that week, man, what else is there that you really kind of have your eye on?
You're talking about even past this or in this this coming 2 weeks or so?
We'll go within this like crazy next 2 weeks first.
The crazy next 2 weeks, I actually want to see, so Little Nog is fighting Shogun on August 1st. So, that's a couple weeks out. But I want to see Shogun come back. He's one of my all-time favorites from back in the Pride days, and I kind of want to see him make a rebound. And, I mean, Little Nog is kind of a good fight to make a rebound with. So hopefully he's able to pull out a win there.
Yeah, Duffy's fighting again and has a pretty big in the Scotland card. The last man to beat McGregor, of course. Holly Holm, like, is she gonna come out and impress and possibly be somebody to take on Ronda? And then what I was really looking forward to, which the news broke today, was Melendez and Ala Quinta, who we, affectionately refer to as Al Qaeda around our part. But, Ala Quinta is a really fun fighter, and Melendez is a guy that I've liked since the Strikeforce days. Always wanted to see him and BJ Penn. That was always a dream match of mine. So when he finally made the UFC, he's a guy I kept up with. And, man, like on top of just some disappointing performances against Pettis and against Eddie Alvarez, this drug pop is really disappointing, man.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and especially since it's just the first one I know to receive the year-long suspension that they just enforced from UFC.
Yeah.
So it is really sad to see him, to one, be caught using steroids and just to be using steroids in the first place. So it is some pretty crappy news.
Well, I mean, he kind of owned up to it. He was like, hey, I didn't keep a close eye on my supplements and what I was taking. But, man, these guys are professional-level fighters. They know what they're putting in their body, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're at that level, you know what's up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, your coach isn't just injecting you with random things. You have no idea what's going in your body. They know. That's a bad excuse.
Well, I mean, that stuff has gotten a level where, you can take something in a pill form that boosts your testosterone to a level that isn't on the up and up. But if you're putting that pill in your body, you've got an idea. Somebody's telling you, hey, take this because it's going to do this. Like, I don't see a way where you kind of hide behind that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if your coach says it's a Flintstone vitamin, don't believe him. That's probably steroid.
Oh, yeah. You know. Do they even have Flintstone vitamins still, man?
I think only the chewable kind. I think they got rid of the other kind.
These kids today, man, they don't know what it's like, man.
I know, they're missing out. But, yeah, really sad news. So hopefully he can come back after his year suspension and clean himself up and continue to have some good fights. Hopefully. We'll see.
Cool. Well, and you talked about Little Nog. Big Nog's on that card as well.
Big Nog is on that card, yeah. Against Stefan Struve, the walking heart attack.
I mean, these are the fights that me and you usually get into a hefty debate about. Like, these, I get legacy fights is the best way I can kind of put them. Where these older guys, I mean, to me, like, especially, like, Crow Cop has come back and it's still entertaining. I get a kick out of seeing these old guys fight. And I know you'd rather see them kind of move on before they really get banged up. I wish I could set that up a little bit better, but in
So it's actually not that they're old and they have a lot of fights under the belt. It's the fighters that have taken a lot of damage. Struve versus Big Nog being one of them. I mean, Big Nog has taken a crap ton of damage over the years, and it's concern for the well-being of these guys that just get vicious knockout after vicious knockout. I mean, it's got to be taking lowering the quality of the years of the rest of their life. I mean, it's got to have long-lasting effects, and I just don't want to see that happen to a fighter like Big Nog, or I think the last conversation we had was Machida. Machida had two devastating losses due to elbows. I mean, he's basically elbowed retarded two fights in a row, and it's like, I don't want to see that happen to a fighter because I know that's going to affect him down the road when he gets older. So I'd rather see a fighter retire before that damage accrues to where it affects their life.
Yeah. My point on it is, like, number one, that's why they make the money that they make. You know, there's only so many of these fights that they can participate in. And that's the damage that they're chancing to take. The other thing is, man, with Melendez, they know their body, man. You know, that's my take on it. If Dan Henderson says, "Hey, man, I can go one more fight," you know, I believe Dan Henderson knows his body enough to say, "Okay, I can go one more fight." I mean, the concussion thing is very real, but I think like in boxing and in football, it's the repetitive strikes to the head, you know? Like in boxing, over 12 rounds, you take 100 jabs to the face, you know? Football, offensive lineman, every play is like a car crash. For these guys, man, it looks vicious and it's brutal, but it's that single strike, is that, you know, maybe five elbows, which is no walk in the park, clearly. And is not, I'm not saying that there's no brain damage whatsoever. But I mean, that's why the athletic commission's put in these suspensions, these medical suspensions.
For the short time. I mean, they put in those suspensions to protect them in the short time. Don't get knocked retarded twice in the same month. But it's not looking for the long. It's not looking after the long term health of these guys.
Yeah. It's got to be personal responsibility. You look. Look at a guy like was it Brian Stann? Is that the commentator for Fox Sports?
Yeah.
And Dan Hardy, man. Like, I would love to see Dan Hardy fight again. That was one of my favorite fighters. But the guy said, "You know what, man? It's not worth it. I'm going to step away." He made that choice. Same with Brian Stann. And I think you'll see maybe a guy like Rashad Evans make that choice here sooner than maybe us as fight fans would like to see. But I think that's on them, you know, and it's on them to just like in football, they stress like, looking for something after the game. Like, I think that should be the same with the UFC fighters. And I think UFC has done a fairly good job of pushing that, at least in the broadcast aspect of it, of, okay, what do you do after the fight game? What do you do after your body's not going to let you do this anymore? But man, like, If these old warriors, man, want to say, "Hey, I got one more in me," I want to see him go out on the shield, man.
You want to see him? Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I do get that it's part of the fighter's responsibility to know when to call it quits. But we've seen fighters go way past when they're supposed to. I mean, look at Chuck Liddell. He just started going downhill. I mean, to go back to my point about the long-term effects. So he gets knocked out once viciously by Rashad. I mean, horrible knockout. And then for a streak of three or four fights later, he has a glass jaw. He can't take a punch anymore. So his physical condition changed with that knockout. I mean, it worsened his chin. So I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I can't judge whether this is actually having a detrimental effect on these fighters, but I can't imagine that it is. And I'd rather see someone, a fighter I respect, not go out in the shield. But it is their choice at the end of the day.
Yeah. Chuck Liddell's a hard one to argue with because, I mean, they basically had to, like, beg him not to fight anymore, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think if he had his way, he would, you know, he would have gone on and fought until he picked up a win against, you know, God knows who. You know.
But the guy ushering the seats in the back row probably would have fought him just to get a win or a payday. But yeah.
And at the same time, though, man, like, just like, I mean, I hate to keep going back to football, but kind of like in football, there's some guys that just, they're not going to be coaches. They're not, like, Brett Favre is not a coach, is not a commentator. Like, that guy was just built to play football. So he played it till he was, like, 40, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what Dan Henderson's going to do when Dan Henderson is not punching people in the face, you know? So
probably has sex with his beautiful wife, but you know, besides that.
I mean, I'm sure he's doing that too, you know. But you know.
Yeah.
But I do think it's cool, you know, especially with the newer markets that opening up, that they kinda have places for these guys to go. But I mean, I guess at the end of the day more research would definitely be good. I mean, that's not gonna help anybody right now making that choice, but maybe down the road. Had better idea of, okay, what is three fights in a row taking five elbows? What's that going to do to your brain long term? Once we can kind of find that, it makes it easier for these guys to make the choice. But right now, I mean, my take is they got to go off of what they have and what they feel gut feeling wise.
Yeah, because I agree with you that there hasn't been very many avenues for these guys to make money after they're done fighting. UFC, like I said, done a great job commentating. I was actually happy to see Chris Leben retire, go out on the shield, so to speak, and then he's coaching now, so he's still finding a way to support himself after the fight game.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the cool thing that they did with Tough this season, was to kind of showcase the gyms. You know, if the gyms can kind of build a brand for themselves, then maybe, you know, coaching and that will be a little bit more lucrative, and that becomes an option for these guys, you know.
I totally see that. I mean, you have coaches that are becoming just as well-known as the fighters. I mean, look at Greg Jackson. Any fight fan probably knows Greg Jackson's name just as much as they know any of the UFC fighters.
Yeah.
Definitely see that going that way.
Cool. We got about 3 minutes left, and we could take this in a few different directions. I'm going to go this way. UFC recently announced some agreements with Titan FC and Shooto. They already had Invicta. Do you see this kind of? Are they growing a minor league here? You know.
I mean, obviously, I think that's what Dana White wants to do. He wants a whole. Own the whole thing, the whole sack. I mean, he wants to own the minors, the majors, everything. I don't know if that's healthy for the community, though. I mean, to have some, like, independent minor leagues outside of Dana's control, I think, would be beneficial for the whole MMA environment.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what you have now. I actually go in the opposite direction because we watched the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, and I mean, it was almost like a funeral. It was like, well, boxing's dead. But this CBS stuff has really taken off, and it's kind of one promoter owning everything. But that said, I think the situation now where they have Titan FC, they have Shooto, they have Invicta, where they can put it on the fight pass where the hardcore fans are going to watch the stuff and see who these guys and girls are.
Yeah.
It gives them a name before they debut, you know?
Hardcore
fight fans are going to know who these people are before they show up in the UFC. And I think that's really the magic of it, you know? I'd like to see more agreements, maybe with Cage Warriors, maybe with 1FC.
Yeah, I mean, definitely having a established minor league system to get these guys known is going to benefit everybody. I mean, get more people out there, get unknown guys getting fights and getting publicity, and I think it's going to help MMA immensely.
Well, that was 30 minutes, man. It flies by. Thank you for tuning in to us. If you have any comments, feel free to hit us up. You can send it to the Geekcast email. I'll have to set up an MMA one. But Biss and Evan, geekcast@gmail.com. hit us up with any comments, anything you'd like to see on the show or like to see us cover. Besides that, thank you for listening. That was the first Holding the Cage podcast, man. We appreciate it. So not too painful,
thanks,
man. Not like five elbows to the face, so not too bad.
yeah, definitely wasn't like five elbows to the face.
Awesome. Well, we will have to do this again, man. We will check in then. Thank you very much for that. I'm Biff. He's Paul, and we are out of here.
Bye.